RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. 18 agenda discussed in a meeting Indonesia-Papua New Guinea, PNG. Indonesian President Joko Widodo greets Indonesians in Australia through video conference. Now the news in detail. A total of 18 agendas are scheduled to be discussed in a meeting between officials of neighboring Indonesia-Papua New Guinea border, LISEN, which will be held in Port Moresby on November 7 to 8. Head of the Border and Foreign Cooperation, Government of Papua Province, Susana Wanggai in Port Moresby, said on Sunday, November 6, the 18 item of the agenda in seven fields of which the development of infrastructure at the border, setting up the administrative border and customs cooperation and quarantine. In addition, the search and rescue SAR cooperation and management of natural disasters, trade and investment, education, health, tourism, and fisheries. Susana Wanggai explained, border license meeting Indonesia-Papua New Guinea, which takes place every year, alternating between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea, was joined by delegates from the provincial government of Papua, the region, and mayor of the region bordering with Papua New Guinea, as well as from the relevant ministries. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, on Sunday, November 6, held a dialogue with Indonesian citizens in Sydney, Australia. The dialogue was done through a video conference at Bogor Presidential Palace. On that occasion, President Joko Widodo expressed his apology to Indonesians in Sydney. The president explained that he would like to apologize that he cannot meet Indonesians in person because the circumstance does not allow him to leave Indonesia. However, the president ensured that the situation has gone back to normal. President Joko Widodo also hoped that his working visit to Australia can still be done this month. The president pointed out that the visit will be rescheduled, and Prime Minister Turnbull has said that he understands the situation. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has donated 100 million rupiah for the construction of Al Hamid Mosque in Curup Selatan Sub-District, Rejang Lebong District, Bengkulu Province. Rejang Lebong District head Ahmad Hijazi handed over the assistance from the president to the mosque construction committee on Sunday, November 6. The assistance must be used according to its appropriation. He hopes the assistance from the Indonesian president can be used properly. The mosque construction committee also had received 25 million rupiah from the Religious Affairs Minister. Having been through a series of judging steps, finally the winners of the highest awarding event in the Indonesian film industry, Festival Film Indonesia FFI 2016, were announced on Sunday evening, November 6, at Taman Ismail Marzuki Art Center, Jakarta. This year, there are 21 categories with the new one, which is Best Soundtrack. The judging involved around 200 juries consisting of the actor, filmmakers, writers, sociologists, journalists, and lifetime member, namely the nominees of FFE since 2014. The juries watch the registered films via streaming on FFE 2016 special website and in cinema. On the red carpet of FFE 2016, a jury who is also a senior actress, Yessi Guzman, said that the many films assessed in FFE 2016 bring up the beauty and the richness of Indonesian culture. Insert Laporan Rahma Yessi Guzman. Dubbing. Yes, thank God the judging process is now sent online, streaming. So although sometimes the signal was bad, I tried to watch all of the films and they are amazing. It is like our expectation that today Indonesian films describe various regions. They show multiculturalism. Narasi. At the same time, head of FFE 2016 judging division, Olga Lydia, hope that the jury's choice produce films with high quality technique. Dubbing Olga Lydia. I hope the jury's choice completely produces films with the highest quality of technique. Next year, I believe that the blossoming film industry in 2016, when many films reach more than 1 million audience, I believe that in 2017, many investors will invest in film, and even not only in film, but also in cinema. Narasi. For Best Film category of FFE 2016, Atira, directed by Riri Reza, came out as the winner. The film, which is inspired by the true story of Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla's mom, is a drama about Indonesian family with the enchanting cultural background of Bugis Makassar, South Sulawesi. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. After a series of events since last September, Festival Film Indonesia FFE 2016 finally entered Piala Citra awarding event on Sunday evening, November 6. Piala Citra refers to the trophy received by the winners. This year, FFE carries the theme Restoration, which includes improvement in film archiving system. In an interview on the red carpet in Taman Ismail Marzuki Art Center, Jakarta, Ernest Prakasa, nominator of Best Adapted Screenwriter category, said that film restoration is important to allow the next generation to watch films that are made today.
Penting banget karena apalagi kita baik pembuat film maupun penikmat film.
Restoration film is important because we both filmmakers and film goers do not know how to watch old films. American film industry, which has developed, certainly can do it. But even the neighboring countries like Malaysia, Vietnam have a proper film archiving. I hope the Indonesian government would pay attention to this issue so we can have a good film archiving. Meanwhile, on the same occasion, head of FFE 2016 judging division, Olga Lydia, said that FFE awarding event is a moment to appreciate the works of art workers and mark the highest technical achievement in the Indonesian film industry.
Malam puncak ini adalah malam apresiasi, harinya orang film, perayaan orang film.
This big event of FFE is a moment for appreciation, the day of filmmakers, the celebration of filmmakers. It is a celebration to appreciate the works of art workers and the highest technical achievement. Festival Film Indonesia FFE is the highest awarding event for film industry in Indonesia. FFE was held for the first time in 1955. Every winner received Piala Citra Trophy, whose design has been changed into the early form since 2014. It symbolizes the return of FFE into the early spirit. The city administration of Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara, appreciates scholarship offer from Australia's Monash University for children of Kupang's poor families. The City Administration Secretary of Kupang, Bernardus Benu, said on Monday, November 7, in Kupang, that the City Administration appreciates the offer and would soon take the necessary steps for the improvement of the quality of human resources in the area. The Monash University has offered scholarships for Kupang students having distinguished record to pursue education at the university in Australia. Bernardo said the offer is given especially to those who could not afford to proceed to higher education for financial difficulty. Because Monash University wants intelligent students who have financial difficulty to continue education. There are many highly intelligent students in Kupang but could not proceed to higher education for financial difficulty. The offer of cooperation program is certainly accepted, adding that technically it is for the education service to take the follow-up step. The last item, Malindo Business and Cultural Center Asia, in cooperation with the government of Padang, West Sumatra Province, will hold a festival of culture and economy among nations in Padang on December 3 to 5, 2016. Chairman of the Steering Malindo Business and Cultural Center Asia, Datuk Seri Dr. Alex Ong in Kuala Lumpur, Monday, November 7, said that, in addition to strengthening the relationship, these activities are expected to open a business and investment opportunities for Padang and other areas. Alex Ong said, the international scale event will be attended by a number of delegations and a number of ASEAN Minang businessmen in Indonesia. He hoped by convening these activities, there will strengthen the relationship between Malaysia and Indonesia in the future. The festival is aimed to invite Malaysian investors and tourists to come and invest in Padang. That was the news.
Listener, a commentary today entitled Interpreting for November Peaceful Action. Friday, November 4, 2016 is a historic day for the people of Indonesia, especially Jakarta residents. On the day, tens of thousands of Muslims gather along Tamrin Road and street around the National Monument, Central Jakarta, in a peaceful protest. This peaceful action got wide attention, including in a social media event. Hashtag Aksi Damai for 11 became a trending Twitter topic not only in Indonesia but also in the world. This certainly proves that the rally on Friday, November 4, 2016 attracted great attention. The 4 November peaceful action with the largest number of participants since reform era was led by a number of Islamic organizations. They asked the government to complete investigation of alleged blasphemy committed by inactive Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama alias Aho. The demonstrators came from not only Jakarta but also a number of areas outside Jakarta such as Bekasi, Solo and Batam. In accordance with the agenda, they gathered at the Istiqlal Mosque in Jakarta to perform Friday prayers before they joined a long march to the State Palace. Until late in the evening after Maghrib prayer, the peaceful action ran very conducively, orderly and safely, though tens of thousands of people gathered and crowded the streets. There was no anarchy, no destruction of public facilities. In fact, both demonstrators and executive forces maintained order and cleanliness. Indonesia Military Tenai Chief General Gatot Nurmanti also greatly appreciated the participation of Islamic ulamas in guiding and cooling down the crowds by asking not doing anarchist on the peaceful action. Although the protesters were provoked to do the anarchy, the Islamic scholars and ulamas were not affected at all, so the demonstration of tens of thousands of people, Muslims, in Jakarta major city in Indonesia ran safely, orderly and peacefully. Unfortunately, in the evening there was a riot due to provocation of a number of irresponsible persons. To lower the political tension and clarify the problems, the government revealed the identity of the actors behind the riots on the night of 4 November 2016 peace rally. Responding to the 4th November rally that led to chaos, Indonesian President Joko Widodo confirmed that the state constitution provides a room for the aspiration expressed by way of demonstration. However, the demonstration should be done orderly and peacefully. All parties should be able to maintain security and peace so as the development still continues. He also emphasized that Indonesia is currently in a safe and good condition, so there is nothing to worry about. Apart from the aim of the rally, which is to thoroughly investigate cases of alleged blasphemy committed by inactive Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama, the 4 November peace rally showed that demonstrations can be done peacefully. The peace protest of tens of thousands of Muslims also reminds the public official to be carefully making statements that could offend the people of other religions. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again in our daily program Today in History over Radio World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin our program with an event that happened on 7 November 1917 when October Revolution began. Bolshevik Revolution, or known as October Revolution, was a revolution which was held by Communists of Russia led by Lenin. After seizing power in Petrograd, the capital city of Russia at the time, they overthrew the nationalist government led by Alexander Kerensky, who was begun to govern since February. This government was installed after Tsar Nicholas II of Russia abdicated because he was deemed incompetent. Although this revolution happened on November 7, 1917, according to Gregorian calendar in Russia, because Russia at the time used Julian calendar, so according to Julian calendar, this event happened on 25th October 1917. Because of that, this revolution was called October Revolution. The next event was in 1945 when Masyumi Party was established in Yogyakarta. Party of Shura Council Muslim in Indonesia, or abbreviated Masyumi, was established on November 7, 1945 in Yogyakarta. The party was established through Muslim Congress on 7-8 November 1945, which aimed to establish political party belonging to Muslim as well as unifying the party of Muslim in politics. Finally, Masyumi was dismissed by President Sukarno in 1960 because figures of the party were suspected of involvement in correction movement from region and Revolutionary Government of Republic of Indonesia, PRRI. In the Suharto era, rehabilitation Masyumi occurred. Some figures of Masyumi were allowed to be active again in politics to immerse in the United Development Party, or PPP. And the last event was in 1963 when Raden Juanda Kartawijaya died. Raden Juanda Kartawijaya, who was on 14 January 1911 in Tasik, Malaya, West Java, and died on 7 November 1963, Jakarta, was an ethnic Sundanese noble from the court of Cirebon, an Indonesian politician, and the 11th and the final Prime Minister of Indonesia. Raden Juanda Kartawijaya, usually referred to simply as Juanda, served as Minister of Communication in 7 cabinets from 1946 to 1949. 1950 to 1953 as Minister of State in 1949 and Minister of Welfare from 1949 to 1950. Juanda was Indonesian final Prime Minister in Sukarno Karya cabinets, the final cabinets of liberal democracy era, or prior to the guided democracy period, as a first minister from 1959 until his death in 1963. Juanda's death and the abolition of post of Prime Minister in the Indonesian Republican system allowed far greater power to be exercised by the President, now being given full ruling power with a minimal oversight as both head of state and head of government. This had enormous impact on Indonesian politics, allowing the constitutional legality of the autocracy of Sukarno and Suharto. Juanda International Airport, located in Surabaya, East Java, is named after him, who suggested development for the airport. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today it's on PT Dirgantara Indonesia and Airbus commemorate 40 years of partnership. PT Dirgantara Indonesia or PTDI is one of the strategic industries under the state-owned enterprises ministry continues to develop capabilities in the field of aerospace or aircraft. Various concrete efforts have been undertaken to improve the skills of its human resources, among others by keeping the company's cooperation with international partner, that is Airbus Group. This partnership is a strong support for Indonesia in developing the aircraft industry. Related to that, PTDI and Airbus Group held a commemoration of 40 years partnership in Jakarta on November the 3rd in the sidelines of the Indo Defense Exhibition. The commemoration was attended by Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno, President Director of PTDI Airbus Director Budi Santoso, and Jose Jacinto Monge Brave. As quoted by Kompas.com, Minister of State Rini Sumarno in her speech expressed gratitude to Airbus, which has become a trusted partner along this time, even in a difficult state. Minister Rini also explained Airbus Group provides an opportunity to Indonesia to supply the A380 Super Jumbo aircraft component. The move is a strong support for Indonesia, in particular PTDI, and its engineers to continue developing capabilities in the field of aerospace and aircraft. The same thing is also said by PTDI President Director Budi Santoso, who stated that Airbus has been an excellent partner for Indonesia. Even in a difficult time, Airbus still helped PTDI. Budi said PTDI has been having a rough time for about 20 years and Airbus became the only one who continued to support and assist PTDI to overcome this difficult time. Indonesia has become a very important market for Airbus Group. On the other hand, Airbus Group is the largest international partner for the Indonesian aircraft industry. Indonesian-made aircraft components can be found in nearly all Airbus-featured aircraft programs, and this cooperation is acknowledged to have helped Indonesia open more than 600 highly qualified jobs in the field of aerospace and aircraft manufacturer and also other related industries. Airbus Group has a close partnership with PTDI that has been forged over decades through collaboration in NC212, CN235, and CN295 turboprop aircraft program. Meanwhile, Director of Airbus Indonesia, Jose Jacinto Monge Brave, as quoted by angkasa.co.id, said Airbus Group feels proud to be trusted partner of Indonesia and PTDI during a period of 40 years. He said PTDI and Airbus Group have collaborated in various ways, such as working on programs that have reaped a success ranging from producing helicopters to military passenger plane. He expected this partnership will be stronger until 40 years into the future and more to help the Indonesian aerospace or aircraft industry make the leap that goes beyond previous achievements. That was today's focus. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. A total of 18 agendas are scheduled to be discussed in a meeting between officials of neighboring Indonesia-Papua New Guinea border liaison, which will be held in Port Moresby on November 7 to 8. Head of the Border and Foreign Cooperation Government of Papua Province, Susanna Wangkai in Port Moresby, said on Sunday, November 6, the 18th item on the agenda, in seven fields of which the development of infrastructure at the border, setting up the administrative border and customs cooperation and quarantine. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Sunday, November 6, held a dialogue with Indonesian citizens in Sydney, Australia. The dialogue was done through a video conference at Bogor Presidential Palace. On that occasion, President Joko Widodo expressed his apology to Indonesians in Sydney. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has donated 100 million rupiah for the construction of Al Hamid Mosque in Curup Selatan Subdistrict, Rejang Lebong District, Bengkulu Province. Rejang Lebong District Head Ahmad Hijazi handed over the assistance from the President to the Mosque Construction Committee on Sunday, November 6. The assistance must be used according to its appropriation. Having been through a series of judging steps, finally, the winners of the highest awarding event in the Indonesian film industry, Festival Film Indonesia 2016, were announced on Sunday evening, November 6, at Taman Ismail Marzuki Art Center, Jakarta. After a series of events since last September, Festival Film Indonesia 2016 finally entered Piala Citra awarding event on Monday evening. Piala Citra refers to the trophy received by the winners. This year, FFE carries the theme restoration, which includes improvement in film archiving system. The city administration of Kupang East Nusa Tenggara appreciates scholarship offer from Australia's Monash University for children of Kupang's poor families. The city administration secretary of Kupang, Bernardus Benu, said on Monday, in Kupang, that the city administration appreciates the offer and would soon take the necessary steps for the improvement of the quality of human resources in the area. Malindo Business and Cultural Center Asia, in cooperation with the government of Padang West Sumatra Province, will hold a festival of culture and economy among nations in the local town on December 3-5, 2016. Chairman of the steering Malindo Business and Cultural Center Asia, Datuk Seri Dr. Alex Ong, in Kuala Lumpur, Monday, November 7, said that in addition to strengthening the relationship, these activities are expected to open up business and investment opportunities for Padang and other areas. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit North Sumatra to see the beauty of hidden paradise, namely Tangkahan. Stay tuned. Listeners, Tangkahan is an area at National Park of Mount Lauser, Langkat Regency, North Sumatra. This area is flanked by Namo Sialang and Sie Serdang Village. Tangkahan tourism object offers spectacular scenery and also fresh air. Rivers at Tangkahan are very clear and clean. Tangkahan is also known as a place of wild elephants. Listeners, various kinds of trees which grow as well as vegetation of tropical forests combining hills make Tangkahan become not only a tourism object but also a place to learn about nature, life, creatures, fauna, and flora. If you want to go to this tourism object, you should pass Batang Serangan River, which has heavy stream. At the river, there is raft as transportation. You do not have to worry when crossing the river by using raft, because there is a guide who will accompany you. Tangkahan Forest, a dance of wand, where there are river, waterfalls, springs,
valley, and even rare plantations such as Rafflesia. More recently, many foreign tourists have been interested in visiting Tangkahan. They consider Tangkahan as hidden paradise in North Sumatra. Listeners, Tangkahan area with the longest list of bird and also mammal species, which reaches around 380 species of birds and 129 species of mammals, give opportunity to tourists to observe various kinds of biodiversity and fauna. The topography of hills with cliff is suitable for someone whose hobbies are rock climbing, hiking, and camping. A unique activity which is rarely found at other tourism objects is an opportunity to bathe the elephants and ride while exploring the woods. When you are tired, you can try to refresh yourself by taking a bath under waterfall. Listeners, to access Tangkahan tourism object is not difficult because there is transportation such as bus which is ready to take you until the destination. The tourists from outside Sumatra Island from Kuala Namu Airport can use Damri bus to Pinang Baris Terminal and continue to Tangkahan. It takes around 4 until 5 hours. Arriving at Tangkahan, there is usually a guide who is ready to take you to various destinations. If you want to stay at night, you do not have to worry because there are many lodging at Tangkahan. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Tangkahan, a tourism object in North Sumatra. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Mencari Pekerjaan, which in English means looking for a job. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Mencari. Mencari, which means to look for. Pekerjaan. Pekerjaan, which means job. Sudah lama. Sudah lama. Been long time. Tidak jumpa. Tidak jumpa. Not see. 3 tahun. 3 tahun. 3 years. Perpisahan. Perpisahan. Farewell. Or separation. Sekolah. Sekolah. School. Bekerja. Bekerja. To work. Menganggur. Menganggur. Unemployed. Setiap hari. Setiap hari, every day. Sekarang, sekarang, now. Belum berhasil, not succeed yet. Penting, penting, important. Putus asa, hopeless. Bertemu, bertemu, to meet. Minggu depan, next week. Ngobrol, ngobrol, to talk. Tukar, tukar, to change. Informasi, informasi, information. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Mencari Pekerjaan, or in English means looking for a job. The conversation is between A. Dodo and B. Tomo. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Dodo: Hai Tomo, apa kabar? Hai Tomo, apa kabar? Which means, Hai Tomo, how are you? Sudah lama kita tidak berjumpa. Sudah lama kita tidak berjumpa, which means long time see you. B. Tomo: Baik-baik saja. Baik-baik saja, which means I'm fine. Sudah hampir 3 tahun tidak bertemu Anda. Sudah hampir 3 tahun tidak bertemu Anda, which means I've not see you almost 3 years. A. Dodo: Ya, sejak acara perpisahan sekolah. Ya, sejak acara perpisahan sekolah. Which means, yes, since school farewell party. B. Tomo: Apakah kamu sudah bekerja? Apakah kamu sudah bekerja? Which means, have you get a job? A. Dodo: Saya belum bekerja. Saya belum bekerja. Which means, I do not work yet. Kamu? Kamu, which means, how about you? B. Tomo: Saya juga belum bekerja. Saya juga belum bekerja, which means, I also do not work. Setiap hari, saya mencari pekerjaan. Setiap hari, saya mencari pekerjaan. I look for a job every day. Tetapi belum berhasil sampai sekarang. Tetapi belum berhasil sampai sekarang. But I do not take it up to now. A. Dodo: Yang penting kita tidak boleh putus asa. Yang penting kita tidak boleh putus asa, which means we must not despair. That's important. B. Tomo: Betul. Betul, which means right. Bagaimana kalau kita bertemu lagi minggu depan? Bagaimana kalau kita bertemu lagi minggu depan? Which means, why don't we meet again next month? Kita bisa ngobrol dan tukar informasi. Kita bisa ngobrol dan tukar informasi, which means, we can share experience. A. Dodo: Baiklah, sampai jumpa. Baiklah, sampai jumpa, which means, alright, see you. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow. And sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, will introduce you to a talented Indonesian female keroncong singer. Listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Tanah Airku by Indra Utami Tamsir. Happy listening. Oh, Listener, as the title suggests, this song tells about the country, Indonesia, particularly about its natural beauty. The song describes high mountains, winding rivers, which flow into the ocean, and the expanse of yellow rice. Listener, Indra Utami Tamsir, a kroncong singer from Blora, Central Java, began introducing kroncong music since she was young age until nowadays. She has previously awarded Emmy Award or Anugerah Musik Indonesia Foundation in 2013. Indra Utami began to familiar with kroncong since she was childhood from her parents who love kroncong music. Indra's parents has serious desire to maintain and preserve kroncong music. Indra received a lot of offer to show in various regions in Indonesia, such as Java, Sumatra, Kalimantan, and Sulawesi. Her efforts in promoting and preserving kroncong resulted many progress. Her sister, Arden Wibowo, gave support to produce Indra's album, which makes she getting more excited. In mid-2016, Indra Utami Tamsir released a second album entitled Wanita Indonesia, which contains 13 songs. Besides, she has planned to hold concert to several cities in Indonesia. Indra Utami will also hold concert in Suriname and the Netherlands. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Biola Kaca by Tri Novianti. Happy listening.
Teringat masa yang lalu.
Listener, the song is about a man who remembered the lover who already passed away. Now, the song is created just for the lover along with words of prayer. The song is sung very well by Tri Novianti. She has a lovely voice and soft, often appearing at Kroncong music program at the national television station TVRI. But due to illness, Tri Novianti vacuum long enough time from the world of singing. She then appeared to sing before the public after her condition began to improve a few years later. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Wanita by Indra Utami Tamsir and Kesayangan by Tri Novianti. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.